Ever imagine running blindfolded through a crowded park? And not just like a casual jog, but really moving, trusting someone else to be your eyes at a runner's pace.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing when you're relying on someone else for that kind of sensory input, that's for sure.
It really is, isn't it? That level of trust, the way two people have to move as one. And that's exactly what we're diving into today, that fascinating communication between visually impaired runners and their guides.
Yeah, and when I say communication, we're not just talking about your basic instructions.
No, we are going way beyond turn left here. We're talking about a whole silent language that develops. It's like a symphony of cues that keep these runners in sync.
And to really get into how it all works, we're tapping into some research done these folks over at the CHI conference on human factors and computing systems. They studied six pairs of runners and guides in Tokyo, and get this, they didn't just interview them. They analyzed hours of footage of these pairs actually running.
Wow, talk about getting to the nitty-gritty. That's amazing. And it really challenges, I think, how we usually think about running, you know, because we picture this solo effort,
right?
Like all about, you know, personal bests and pushing your own limits.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But in this case, it's the partnership that really takes center stage, you know,
right?
It's about shared goals, that trust, and this incredible back and forth that determines success.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's break down this communication dance that you're talking about.
Sure.
The research, it highlights these three main layers.
Okay.
Vocal cues, physical or, they call it corporeal cues.
Right.
And wait for it, silence.
It's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, even when we can see perfectly well, think about how much we rely on those nonverbal cues.
Absolutely.
But here, those signals, those unspoken signals, become absolutely essential.
They do. And the researchers found that even something as simple as casual conversation takes on a whole new meaning for these runners.
Because it's not just about, you know, shooting the breeze, right?
Right.
There are actually these hidden layers of information being exchanged.
Exactly. Because for the runner, every word, every inflection, even every breath the guide takes, it all helps paint this picture of their surroundings.
Wow. So they're literally listening for their location.
In a way, yes. One runner even mentioned that they could always tell where their guide was just based on the sound of their voice.
Wow.
So it becomes like this constant subconscious wayfinding tool.
That's wild. It's like echolocation, but with words.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great analogy. It really shows how tuned in these runners are to like every little nuance.
Okay. So we've got these vocal cues, this constant auditory map being created.
Right.
But then there's that whole physical connection too, which, let's be real, it's mission critical when you can't rely on sight.
Oh, absolutely. And this is where things get even more interesting, I think. Oh,
okay.
Because those physical cues, or as called it, corporeal communication, it can be either intentional or unintentional.
Okay, I'm hooked. Break that down for us. What's the difference?
So intentional cues are pretty straightforward, right? It's the guide using touch very deliberately to communicate something. Like a tug on the tether to signal a turn, or, you know, a gentle nudge to kind of steer the runner clear of an obstacle, that sort of thing.
So it's like a physical extension of those vocal cues, like you said, turn left, becomes a slight pull on the tether.
Exactly. It's direct, it's efficient, and it really speaks to the level of trust between, you know, the runner and the guide.
Especially when you're flying down a path at a good clip, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, what about those unintentional cues? Those sound like they could be a recipe for disaster if you're not careful.
Yeah, they can be. They could be tricky.
Imagine
like a guide who's maybe a little green, you know, maybe a little nervous. They might tense up without even realizing it. You know, their arm stiffens up, their stride gets a little off, and suddenly
the runner picks up on that anxiety like a tuning fork.
Precisely. Yeah. One runner in the study even talked about feeling their guide's anxiety through the tether. Which is pretty incredible when you think about it.
Wow, that's heavy. You know, I mean, for most of us, you know, a little stumble during a run is no big deal.
Right.
But here, it takes on a whole new level of significance.
It does, yeah. It really underscores how finely tuned runners become to, like, these subtle shifts in their guide's movements.
Wow.
And what's even more interesting is that, you know, the researchers found that as these pairs, as they gained more experience.
Okay.
They actually relied more on those intentional, you know, those deliberate cues and less on those unintentional ones.
Which makes sense as they build that trust and that, you know, shared understanding of what each movement means.
Right.
They can start to strip away some of those extra layers of communication.
Exactly.
And that brings us to the, I think, most intriguing layer of all. silence.
Yes, yes, the sound of shared understanding.
But okay, seriously, how do you even begin to study something like that?
Right.
Silence, by definition, it's the absence of something. How can it be a form of communication?
It's a great question. And you know, the researchers really wrestled with this this idea.
Yeah.
They realized that in this context, silence, it wasn't just about the lack of sound.
Okay.
It represented this really deep sense of being in sync, like moving together seamlessly without needing those constant verbal cues or even physical cues.
So it's like their bodies are speaking to each other even when their voices are quiet.
Exactly. And get this, they actually found a way to kind of measure this feeling of being in sync.
Okay.
They outfitted the runners and guides with wristbands.
Okay.
That track not only their movements, but also their physiological responses, like their heart rate.
Wait, hold on. So they could actually measure that feeling of being in sync?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Amazing, right. They were looking for those moments when the runner and guide were quite literally on the same wavelength, you know, moving and feeling as one.
Wow.
And what they found was incredible.
Okay.
The pair that had been running together the longest, the ones who had that, you know, deep well of shared experience, they showed remarkably similar heart rate patterns throughout the entire run.
No way. So even their bodies were in sync, like some kind of unspoken conversation happening beneath the surface.
Yeah, it's really quite remarkable.
Oh.
And while this was, you know, just one study, it opens up, I think, a whole new world of questions about, you know, the nature of connection, mm-hmm. nonverbal communication, and that incredible potential of the human body to kind of understand and adapt to another's.
It really is. Makes you wonder, like, could we actually use technology to, you know, tap into that connection to make it even stronger?
Fascinating thought. And the researchers did actually highlight some really interesting possibilities when it comes to that.
Okay, hit me with it. Are we talking robot guides? Because I gotta say, that's a little too Black Mirror for me.
Not quite robots, but how about this? VR training for guides.
Ooh, okay. I like where this is going. So like a flight simulator, but for, you know, for guiding runners.
Exactly, yeah. Guides could practice different communication styles, get a feel for the runner's pace, even, you know, simulate those challenging situations like crowded streets or, you know, sudden obstacles. And it's all in a safe and controlled environment.
That's incredible. Talk about, you know, building confidence and empathy before you even hit the pavement. That could be revolutionary.
Right.
What else? Are we thinking smart tethers? I bet we could soup those up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Imagine a tether with, like, built-in haptic feedback. You know, giving the runner these subtle cues about upcoming turns or changes in the terrain, almost like a second language flowing through their fingertips.
It'd be like having a built-in co-pilot for running, like feeding them just the right info at the right time without, you know, overloading their senses.
Right, right.
And hey, while we're dreaming big here, what about, you know, devices that could maybe help both runners and guides become more aware of their own communication patterns?
Now you're talking. Imagine a guide, right? And they get like real-time feedback. If they start maybe unintentionally, you know, conveying stress through the tether.
Yeah.
It could help them self-correct and create a much smoother, more intuitive experience for, you know, for both of them.
Whoa. We've gone from this almost mystical idea of silent communication to like some really tangible ways that technology could actually like enhance that connection even further.
Right.
It's incredible to think about.
It is. It really highlights how technology, you know, at its best, it can really enhance and deepen our human experiences, not replace them.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, where do we draw the line? Will these advancements, will they help us achieve, you know, a level of partnership that we never even thought possible? Or is there something, you know, kind of secret about that unaugmented human connection? Something about feeling another person's heartbeat through, you know, just a simple piece of rope as you navigate the world together.
It's really something to think about.
It really is something to ponder on your next run, whether you're, you know, the guide, the runner, or just out there enjoying the rhythm of your own two feet.
Well said, yeah. And on that note, maybe it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive. It's been a real pleasure kind of exploring this fascinating world with you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the surprising world around us.